95 BFM Democracy Cares.
As part of our election coverage on the environment, Felix has gone over each major party's climate policies. Here it is.
This week in our election coverage, the focus is on the environment. As such, I thought I would take the time to go over each party's policies in regards to this topic. The week before last, I did something similar as part of our local economy coverage, and last week, Zoe covered health on Monday's Wire. Both of those reports can be found on our website, 95bfm.com. Rather than tackling all environmental topics, such as conservation, waste management, oceans, and pollution, the focus of this overview is very much on climate change, an issue that is big and important enough to warrant its very own discussion. As such, if you're interested in those other topics, I would encourage you to check out some of the great online resources, such as the spin-offs policy.nz website that maintains a comprehensive list of policies for each major party. We'll start off, as always, with the two giants, National and Labour. In terms of targeting emissions, National's policy is very much interested in electric vehicles as a means of reducing greenhouse gases. Although the agriculture industry is still our largest contributor to greenhouse gases, emissions from road transport have generally been increasing at a higher rate, so National is looking to focus on that area rather than the more difficult issue of farming. National would exempt electric vehicles from the fringe benefit tax until 2025. The fringe benefit tax is a tax on non-cash benefits received by employees, so the rationale is for this to encourage more companies to adopt electric vehicles. National would also allow electric vehicles to use bus and high occupancy lanes, an effort to further incentivize people to make the switch by shortening commutes. You may have noticed that these policies are very much about incentives, and thus it's actually quite hard to say just how much of an impact this would have on New Zealand's emissions. The only firm promise that National can make in this regard is a pledge to replace a third of government vehicles with electric equivalents by 2023, with an ongoing requirement that the government purchase electric vehicles where possible. This does highlight a limitation when it comes to tackling emissions through private vehicles. There is very little that can be done in terms of firm legislation. The government can't force citizens to buy electric vehicles, for example. That would be neither practical nor ethical. Therefore, incentives are really the best that can be done. And with National showing a lot of hesitation when it comes to enforcing rules on the agriculture industry, you'd be forgiven for thinking that National's plan lacks ambition when it comes to meeting emissions goals. Conversely, Labour's focus is very much on agriculture and energy. Labour plans to continue their work with farmers to reduce emissions, which they say includes tools for benchmarking emissions and providing advisors for lower emission farming. Tackling emissions from agriculture is certainly ambitious, but progress has been quite slow. New Zealand's reliance on the agriculture industry has made sweeping change difficult to implement, and the Labour Party has found themselves stuck in a long transition process as these changes are gradually implemented. This is why we're still seeing policies about benchmarking and advising. It's still going to be a while yet before we see any major payoff from this project, so the question is, what can Labour do short term? This is where Labour's energy policy hopes to fill the gaps. Labour plans to greatly limit the use of fossil fuels over the next several years, banning the construction of thermal electricity generation and moving their 100% renewable energy target forward 5 years, shooting for 2030 instead of 2035. Labour is also looking to introduce new standards for fuel efficiency, which would apply to vehicles entering the country from overseas. The limit is 105 grams of CO2 per kilometre, which has met some criticism as being a bit too generous. For reference, the European Union is targeting 95 grams of CO2 per kilometre by next year. When it comes to the smaller parties, it's no surprise that the one with the most comprehensive climate change policy is the Green Party. The sweeping goal of Green's climate policy is to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees, in line with the Paris Agreement, an effort to minimise the effects of climate change not just on New Zealand, but also on our Pacific neighbours. Part of that effort is also a change to immigration policy, to provide immigration options to people moving from Pacific nations that have been displaced by climate change. A lot of Pacific nations sit very close to sea level and are thus at a much higher risk from rising water and more extreme weather conditions as a result of climate change. To that end, the Green Party is looking to ban new fossil fuel electricity generation, a ban that was previously repealed by National in 2008. Green also wants to replace all existing coal and gas technology over the next 10 to 15 years. Part of that is a tripling of financial support for businesses in the transition to cleaner energy. The Green Party is also planning on keeping Labour in check in regards to their progress on limiting agricultural emissions, reviewing the progress they've made in terms of developing a pricing mechanism for agricultural emissions. The goal of this is to keep things moving forward when it comes to limiting these emissions, which, as I mentioned earlier, is making pretty slow progress. On the smaller scale, Green would also give households free energy-efficient light bulbs, which would in theory reduce demand on power grids as well as lowering the costs of electricity bills, potentially a big deal for lower-income households. Overall, to nobody's surprise, Green is pushing for New Zealand to take a strong and progressive role in addressing climate change. They've expressed their desire for New Zealand to be a world leader in this regard and would utilise their parliamentary seats to keep the bigger parties in check. On the more economically concerned end of the spectrum, the ACT Party would repeal the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration. They say this would increase New Zealand's revenue and provide jobs. ACT is also looking to reverse Labour's regulations on agricultural methane and freshwater. One of ACT's few carbon-neutral policies is a change in the parliamentary calendar, increasing the number of days that MPs spend in Parliament from 3 to 4 days a week for 23 weeks instead of 30, thereby reducing the number of flights they take. Other than that, ACT is looking to place much of the onus of tackling climate change on individual behavioural change rather than legislation. Similarly, New Conservative would also repeal the ban on oil and gas exploration. They also want New Zealand to withdraw from international climate agreements, such as the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Agreement, as well as repealing the emissions trading scheme and zero carbon bill. Instead, New Conservative is looking to increase funding for research and development of private organisations to reduce emissions, effectively relying on private companies to deal with climate change. The Opportunities Party is in support of the Zero Carbon Bill, which has New Zealand aiming for carbon neutrality by 2050. Like National, TOP wants to abolish the fringe benefit tax on electric vehicles, further incentivising companies to go electric. TOP also wants to introduce stricter standards for emissions on imported vehicles, like Labour, but has also pledged to tighten those standards further over time. In support of the Zero Carbon Bill, TOP is looking to introduce a requirement for large government investments to factor the 2050 carbon neutral goal into their plans, suggesting that they plan to hold the government to account in regards to meeting this goal. Finally, the Māori Party wants to end all oil and gas extraction entirely over the next 5 years, and decommissioning all extraction sites by 2030. They also want to establish a $1 billion fund to support Māori-owned energy projects, such as the installation of solar energy and insulation on marae and individual whānau housing. The Māori Party, similar to the Green Party, would also have New Zealand play a bigger role in supporting Pacific countries in regards to climate change. They would also bring the agricultural industry into the emissions trading scheme as it's currently exempt from those standards. That is a relatively broad overview of how each major party is planning on tackling climate change and emissions goals. NZ First has remained pretty quiet on the topic of climate change, indicating a general desire to keep things as is. They haven't been especially progressive or regressive on the topic of emissions, at least in the lead up to the election. Once again, I really want to encourage you to check out some of these policies for yourself, especially if you've found yourself agreeing with any of the positions I've talked about today. You can generally find a lot of information on each party's website, as well as through sites like policy.nz. Don't forget to vote, and I'll see you next time.
That was producer Felix Walton reporting on the climate policies of all the major parties.
Democritus is rolling in his grave. Election 2020.